Karen. Beautiful way to start. Beautiful music. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, a joyful sound as well. And that was beautiful sounds unto the Lord. And that's the main thing, is we sing and worship. Everything is for Him and His glory. So welcome. I'm glad you're here today. I only missed one Sunday, but it seems like I've been gone for longer than that because of Vacation Bible School. We didn't have choir. And then I've been involved with a music camp this week, which was a great, wonderful experience. But I'm thrilled to be back in my home church today and serving the Lord here. And God has blessed me greatly by letting me do what I get to do. And I'm grateful you're here to do it along with me. And we can serve the Lord by praising His name. So let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing in a moment after the choir does our call to worship. Heavenly Father, we bless Your holy name. We thank You, Lord, that You are here in our midst where two or more are gathered in Your name. You promised, Lord, to be with us, and we can sense and feel Your presence. We know that You are God, and we trust in You. Thank You for calling us to serve You and to minister in Your name. Thank You for each person here, and I pray that You will equip them to do good work and equip us all and help us to be strong for You each week. Give us the energy that we need to share Your love and Your word and to put our faith into action. Lord, I bless each singer today, each person that pours out their heart in praise to You, that they might truly experience who You are, Lord. Show us Your beauty. Show us Your love today as we worship You. Bless our pastor. We're so thankful for Joel, thankful for the Word of God and the message he's prepared for us from Psalm 139. We look forward to sharing that in a few minutes. Bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh God, our help in ages past. And thankfully, not just for ages past, but from now and through eternity, God is our help.
Thank you. may be seated. Before we have our welcome, we want to make sure that we say Happy Father's Day. So, all of our dads behind me in the choir, out in the congregation, up in the balcony, if you are a dad today, then a granddad, this is my first Father's Day as a grandfather, so how neat is that? So, all of our dads, stand up behind me, front of me, all dads everywhere, in the balcony, yeah. So, Dad, have a great day today, and we are thankful that you are worshiping with us here on Father's Day. Now, everybody stand up and walk around, welcome your friends. Glad to have you today.
Thank you.
As we continue on thinking about trusting in God, trusting in the Lord, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Hymn number 581, if you'd like to turn there. Thank you for singing and pouring out your praise. I shared with the early worship congregation a little bit about the camp that I was at this week. It's called Camp Jam, Jesus, Arts, and Music. And I was the youth choir clinician and the guitar instructor, and I just had a great time. Did not realize how exhausted and tired I was until I got back to the church yesterday and unloaded the equipment. But thankfully, I got a good night's rest, and I'm energized and ready to go today, thanks to the Lord. But it was a neat camp, and it was a great experience. The cool thing for me, I worked with the youth, and every single one of the youth wanted to be there. And what a difference that makes working with people who want to be there. And that's the same thing with worship. I hope that you've come here today wanting to be here with God's people, gathered together, praising the name of the Lord. And so we've had a great day so far. Let's continue that, and I thank you. And I know some of you wanted to be here to be with your dads today. And so I welcome you and thankful that you're here today to be with your parents and to celebrate Father's Day. And so what a glorious day. But every day is a good day. I told my wife, my daughter, Macy, was kind of concerned she might not be here today because her husband was in a wedding and they needed to get that tux returned, and they're making travel, and we've got to leave and go out of town this afternoon. But I told her, that Father's Day is every day for me because of my girls. And so there's no worries if they don't make it in time, but I think they will. But we're going to sing a great song of praise today. And so it is well with my soul. And so I want you to sing and pour out praise unto the Lord. Is it well with your soul today? Think about that as we sing. This was written by a man who had faced tremendous adversity, lost his wife and his children, and just a devastating ship incident. And he survived and wrote this song, penned these words when he went back to visit the site where it happened. And so let's worship the Lord together. Actually, I don't think he was on the trip, if I remember right. He got a message saying that they had passed away. So 705, it is well with my soul. Sing this next verse.
My sin, all the bliss of this glorious dawn. My sin. comforting thought it is when you can literally say, it is well with my soul. Join me for prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with a thankful heart, just thanking you for the outpouring of blessings on each and every one of us. We just thank you for your care and your guidance each and every day of our lives. And we just thank you for this church and what it means to us on a daily basis, weekly basis, and just in our hearts each and every time we come in. And now as we come to the portion of the service when we can return just a little of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that we will use these tithes and offerings in the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
So Brother Joel's speaking on trusting God today, and so the ensemble is going to share this beautiful song. We hope that you'll be blessed. Trust in God. So I hope that you sense the presence of the Spirit of God here. I've had great opportunities over the past couple of weeks. Being there at Lake Junaluska for Carson's wedding, once I got on that campus, I just felt Spirit of God. It's a conference center and a beautiful place up in North Carolina, real close to Maggie Valley. And so you can tell there's been a lot of prayers going up in that place, a lot of worshiping the Lord. And then this week at the children's camp, you can sense the presence of the Lord. But, you know, I think a lot of it more than just the place, although the place, God uses it for sure, but it's the people. And the people of God that are here this morning, the Spirit in you, you know, it's because God's Spirit is in us, we are little pieces of heaven on earth because of Jesus' presence in our lives. And then when we gather together, it makes it even more apparent and evident that God is here when we meet in His name. And so I hope that you will take hold of that, that you will worship in your spirit today as we sing Trust in God. And this is not for entertainment purposes. This is for worship purposes. So we want you to sing along with us. The lyrics will be up on the screen. We will not be offended if we see you sing. So please join in and let's worship the Lord together.
washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
I trust in God,
my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Seek the Lord while he may be found.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
the Lord.
Thank you so much, ensemble and choir and Ken, testimonies this morning in the early worship. We had Warren, our student minister, gave a testimony of trusting in the Lord and how the Lord had brought him through that when he was electrocuted and should have died, but how faithful the Lord was to him. And so everything that we've been singing, testimonies, everything has been leading to Psalm 139. One of the great psalms. So we started back in May, early May, summer psalms. And we're just kind of walking our way through some of the great psalms and hearing what the psalmist has to say. We've talked a lot about King David. As some of us, we've read some of the psalms from King David. This is certainly one of those. Not only was King David the greatest king of Israel, but King David was also an incredible theologian, and that is illustrated in Psalm 139. So he teaches us about the omniscience of God. He teaches us about the omnipresence of God. He also teaches us about the personal care that God takes with each individual life. And so we can trust him. That's the whole point of this great, incredible psalm about the fact that we can put our trust and our faith in God the Father. He is the one who knows all things. He is the one who has created all things. He is the one who is present everywhere and available to us. And so we can put our trust and our confidence in him, or we can put our trust and our confidence in the things of this world that will all pass away. You know, once we look at this psalm, then we realize, well, this is a no-brainer. It's easy to understand theologically, but yet at the same time, how difficult it is for us as hardened sinners to put our trust and our faith in God the Father. King David understood the sovereignty of God. He understood the sovereignty of God as the creator of all things, including himself. He understood that he was wonderfully knit together by God the Father in his mother's womb. He understood that sovereign God was the one who was in charge of the universe. But he also knew that because of that, he could trust him with every aspect of his life. So here we are today, it's Father's Day, and we celebrate the gift that God has given to us in fathers. But we're really looking today at ultimately the greatest, the ultimate Father, and that is God the Father. And no text, Psalm 139 is just one of the great, great texts, not just in the Psalms, but in Scripture, where we see who God is, what he has given. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, you know when I stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel, when I rest at home, you know everything that I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too great for me to even understand how sovereign and how wonderful and how great you really are. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, there you are. If I go down to the grave, there you are. If I ride the wings of the morning and if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand guides me and your strength supports me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me even before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had even passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still right there with me. And I want you to think about the world that we live in. King David lived in a world even worse than ours. Think about all of the wars going on right now all over our world. Think about all the discord in our own country. Think about all of the problems and the pains of the world we live in. And listen to the psalmist. Oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for your enemies are my enemies. Not literally, I hate them, not in that sense of hate, but I hate the fact that they do not trust in sovereign God, and I live among those people. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And then he finishes with this great, powerful word, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. In verses 7 through 12, David focuses on the divine omnipresence of God. Omnipresence, of course, means that God is everywhere. There's no place to hide from the Lord. He even says, where can I flee? And the answer is nowhere. Jonah learned this the hard way. There is no land far enough away to travel to leave and outrun the divine presence of God. It is important for us to know the divine omnipresence of God does not mean that God, part of God, is here, part of God, that he divvies himself out. No, God is fully present everywhere. Now, that's not something that you and I can understand. And the psalmist, King David, as the great theologian, he even points that out. I don't understand that. My mind can't wrap around that. It's not possible for our finite minds to understand. Well, no, how in the world is God fully present everywhere in his creation? You can't understand that. I can't understand that. In verses 1 through 6, but the point is that King David's saying, but I trust him. And I trust that he is fully present everywhere. In verses 1 through 6, then he emphasizes the divine omniscience of God. Omniscience, of course, means that God knows everything. In this psalm, the knowledge of the Lord is depicted in personal, intimate terms. He is thoroughly acquainted with David's ways. His knowledge extends to the future before David even says anything. The Lord knows he's going to say it. Before David does anything, the Lord knows he's going to do it. Before David moves here or moves there, the Lord already knows everything about David. And so David's whole point is, well then, why not put my trust and my faith in him? Divine omniscience does not mean that God simply knows more than us. His knowledge determines reality. If I walk into a grocery store and I see a red apple, I know that that apple is red, but my knowledge didn't make it red. When God sees a red apple, God not only knows that that apple is red, but God's knowledge makes that apple red. We just simply know something is what it is. But God's knowledge determines that something is what it is. So the psalmist is driving this point. God creates all things. God knows all things. God is everywhere, present and available. And he's making this incredible acknowledgement about who God is, what God is, where God is. And then his whole point is, well, should I look at my world in despair? No. His point is exactly opposite. My confidence and my trust is the one who has created all knowledge. So I'm not going to put my confidence and trust in the smartest guy in the room. I'm going to put my trust and my confidence in God the Father. And that then drives King David where? To his knees. I look at my world. My goodness, it is just absolutely atrocious. There's war in the Middle East. There's war with Russia and Ukraine. I look at our own world. Lawmakers in Minnesota being killed for a vote. That's the world now we live in. I mean, it's madness all over the American culture, but not just the American culture, but all over the world. And so it's so easy for us, to despair. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? King David lived in a world similar to ours, much worse actually. And yet King David, when he acknowledges who God is, what he is, and what he's done, and where he is available to everyone, it just simply drives King David exactly where it needs to drive him, and exactly where it needs to drive me, to my knees. Max Lucado once said, "It is important to note that David does not discuss these attributes as mere philosophical abstractions. This is not a King David writing all of this for God's people and then me preaching about it just so that we can come away with some kind of truth. No, it's more than that. But this discussion is the outflow of his love for and confidence in the Lord. Knowledge of God's character, in fact, gives him assurance and motivates him to pray, trusting only in the Lord." Verses 13 through 24 build on David's discussion of divine omnipresence and omniscience. Verse 16 provides a reference to the Lord's comprehensive plan and decree by which he ordains and governs everything to come to pass. A great example is King Hezekiah in Isaiah 38. When King Hezekiah prayed for healing, God added 15 years to his life, no more and no less. This shows us that divine providence takes our actions into account, for God did not extend Hezekiah's life apart from his connection to prayer. However, that does not mean that Hezekiah was the final authority. On one hand, God is not some passive observer who takes in knowledge like we do. He knows his creation because he has ordained everything in his creation. How powerful is that? So this understanding of King David, of God's intimate personal presence and knowledge, motivates David to do what? To pray. So wisdom and truth, when provided by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, then forces David to his knees, trusting in the sovereign care of God. That is, God is all things. God knows all things. God creates all things. Conversely, the world I live in trusts in silliness. I mean, I'm being kind by saying the word silliness. Y'all know I watch in the morning time. I watch all kinds of news. I mean, I watch it all. And I don't watch it all because I trust it. I watch it all because I want to know. What does the world think? And that's a great source for me to watch in the morning, to watch NBC or to watch ABC or to watch CNN, along with other outlets as well. But to watch and to be able to look at that and say, this is what they think. This is what they believe in. This is where they put the world that I live in puts its trust and its faith in these things and these people. Now, granted, you only get to hear me talk about it every now and then. My lovely bride gets to witness it every single morning, and she's ready to kill me by the time I get dressed and leave, because I do commentary on those things as they're going on, and she's not real happy about that. So I'm watching the other morning, and I wake up, and I'm just about finished with this sermon, Psalm 139. I'm just about done. And that's the way sermons go for me. There's always sermons and always Bible studies. It's like a dog chasing his tail. It never ends. All right, so I've got this sermon done and ready to go, and I've got this sermon just started. I've got this sermon about done. I've got this sermon ready in my head. I think this is the direction I think the Lord's going to take me on this one. And so this just always, never, ever, ever, ever ended. But I'm done. I'm just about finished several weeks ago with Psalm 139. God is the creator of all things. God knows all things. God is present and available to us everywhere. And then King David says, and that drives me to my knees. Not despair, but to my knees. So I'm wrapping that whole thing up. Well, I know that that day is the day that I'm going to put the final touches on this thing. It's ready to go. Just so happens on that morning, as I'm watching the morning news, I watch the news channel, NBC, put all of its trust, faith, confidence in a 22-year-old Swedish climate and political activist named Greta Thunberg, who knows nothing. And I watched them encourage the American culture to put its trust and its faith in a 22-year-old Swedish climate and political activist who knows nothing, but somehow has become wealthier at 22 than everybody in this sanctuary put together. And what's so sad about that is that the overwhelming majority of people in our culture will put its trust and its faith in somebody like Greta Thunberg. So I'm driving to church, and it hits me as clear as day, and I say to myself, King David or Greta Thunberg? Huh. I said this morning in early worship, I said, and my prayer was is that I hope by the time I make it to the church, I make a good choice and choose the Lord and choose King David as opposed to Greta Thunberg. The heart of the gospel in the Psalms tells us, put our trust in the one who has created each one of us, knit us together in our mother's womb, and knows everything about us. And those of us who are living beyond the old covenant and in the new covenant, listen to the last word that King David says, and Lord, lead me along the path of everlasting life. Those of us living beyond the old covenant and the new covenant, that means salvation through His Son, Jesus. So, fathers, dads, granddads, there is no greater gift that we can give our children and our grandchildren. No greater gift than trust, faith in sovereign God of Psalm 139. That is the greatest gift of all. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. Father, thank you for that gift today. Thank you for King David and for the gift of life that he found in God the Father. Only in God the Father. He's created all things. He gives all things. He knows all things. He's everywhere. And so King David lived in a world like ours. Man, it was a mess. Wars. Sin. And in that turmoil, King David showed us the pathway of trust to God the Father. What a beautiful, beautiful word. And so here we are now, thousands and thousands of years later, we live in the same kind of world. It's just chaotic and sin. Putting trust and faith in things that have no business with our trust and faith. And so that word is just as powerful to us today as it was when it was written by King David. May we trust our lives into your hands. Thank you for Jesus, your Son, that has given us life everlasting, abundant, and free. In Christ we pray. Amen. Trust and obey is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ today, then that is our encouragement for you to put your trust and your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. If you need to come and pray, join our church. However the Lord moves you by the power of the Holy Spirit, do that as we stand and as we sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
quickly be seated while we got First Carson spots. If you haven't given to spots, please make sure that you do. We are doing very well on spots. We've raised $324,863, which gives us a total of $514,863. So if you haven't yet given, please do. We're really getting close on getting ready to do the parking lot and the fellowship hall. So if you haven't given, please do. All right. Kids camp coming up, not tomorrow, but the following Monday, Marshall Baptist Retreat Center. So see Micah for sign up. There's already about 40 kids signed up ready for that. That's going to be a great week. Senior adults, Top of the River, June 17, and Scott Orchard on June the 24th. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Let's see, Whitney Maston and Amanda Rowe are putting together Going Beyond Live with Priscilla Shirer, and that is August the 23rd. Sign up sheet. I don't know if they have one yet started, but they will. Ladies, anybody interested in going to that, that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful night of celebration for you, all right? And then the June 21st, the yard sale. People are already bringing stuff for the yard sale in the fellowship hall. I think they want it by June the 19th, but bring stuff for the yard sale for our students going to Belize this summer. All right. Also, August the 22nd, Friday, August 22nd, is the annual men's golf tournament out at Gunner's Landing. So just go ahead right now and put that on your calendar. Brian Harrell wanted me to make that announcement. August, Friday, August the